From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. More Idaho Matters right now. With everything going on in the U.S. Supreme Court right now, imagine a book that reimagines the life of a fictional first female Supreme Court justice here in the U.S. Well, that's the premise of Elizabeth Silver's new book, The Majority. And she joins us now to talk more about this. Elizabeth, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so I've given just a tiny little bit of info about your new book, but give us the setup, the premise for the book.
Absolutely. Well, jumping off of what you've already said, it follows the story of Sylvia Olin Bernstein, or the contemptuous SOB, as she's dubbed, on her path to power to becoming the first woman on the United States Supreme Court. And it's set over the course of the large swath of the second half of the 20th century and focuses in on really four central times of her life in 1949, when she's 12, later on in law school in the early 60s, new motherhood in the 70s and in the mid 80s when she's ultimately appointed to the court. So it's really kind of exploring this one woman's path to kind of what I look at and consider really the closest thing we have to an American throne, in other words.
So did you pull from some of our real life female Supreme Court justices when you were deciding to write this book and writing it?
Absolutely. I think it's very loosely inspired by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was not the first, but the second. But there's little, you know, Easter eggs thrown in there for some of the other female Supremes who were at the time. And so though she is loosely inspired by RBG, she takes on a force and a life all of her own. And so, you know, jumps off from there and really becomes Sylvia's story and her flaws and her regrets, and really focuses in on the interior life of somebody who, you know, the type of person who history and literature and film usually gives a lot of real estate to, but not that private life. And I was really interested in who this person was as a mother, as a friend, as a partner, as a student, as a child, as a daughter, and seeing, you know, all of this person's flaws, all of this person's regrets, triumphs, but things that maybe we aren't going to be given in those well-publicized biographies.
Well, and you know, you touch on a lot of topics in the book that I think we're grappling with still today, right? As women. Let's talk about things like, as you mentioned, motherhood, right? But then, God forbid, having power and ambition. Right.
Especially as a woman.
Especially as a woman. I think it's something that so many women grapple with, whether or not you're at this level at the U.S. Supreme Court, right? It seems to intersect with every part of our lives. So why was it important to you to really, as you said, write about that personal aspect of SOB's life?
Well, I think when you look at the personal component, that's when it becomes relatable. We have friends, we have spouses, we have parents, we have children, and that's the relatable component. Maybe we're not all Supreme Court justices, or we're not lawyers, or we're not judges, or maybe we don't have positions of so-called power according to, you know, certain, you know, society mores or whatever, but we all have power in our own rights, and we all are struggling with the same issues. They're just on different kind of metrics, really. And so I really wanted to explore the character. I want to explore the interiority. And as a fiction writer, I start everything really with character. That's where we relate. You know, we're not going to relate as much to an exterior political drama as much as we will to, oh, wait, what's going on with why did she fight with her boyfriend there? And what happened in school? What happened when she was 21? And that was crazy, you know? And so I think, you know, these are stories that we all as people can connect with. And I really wanted to do that. You know, I was also interested in the personal, because the personal is it's really important, because not only is it the relatable part, but it also does inform the powerful, you know. Our personal lives do inform our trajectories, and in particular with people in power, you know, we want to say that they're separate from their backstories, but that's an impossibility.
Well, and I think that you write with such, you know, depth when you're talking about, you know, womanhood, right? But also this idea of women having power. And was that important for you to really try to intersect those two? And I ask that because, I mean, even now in 2023, I mean, you would think that we wouldn't have to be having these conversations. Yet at the same time, I feel like in the climate and culture that we're living in right now, it's even more imperative to be talking about female empowerment and, you know, bodily autonomy and all of those things that come along with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, I started this book about 6 years ago almost. And, you know, people would say, oh gosh, you better get that book out now. It's really timely. And then, you know, something would pass and then another mm-hmm. thing would happen. Oh, you better get that book out now. It's very timely. And the same thing every single year for 6 years. And on the one hand, it kind of, these issues aren't going away. Mm-hmm. These issues do not go away and they haven't changed, you know, as long as women are having babies, these issues are going to be there. And I think, you know, that the idea of motherhood and ambition entwined was something that really, that really was a spark for me, almost less so than the Supreme Court. I started this book when I had a 1 and a 3-year-old and, I felt the difference that society looked at me, you know, when I became mm-hmm. my mother, not, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s and in college and law school and grad school for creative writing, it was never like, oh, you're a woman, we have different expectations for you. I felt that very heavily when I became a mother. And I was really interested in exploring that, that intersection of, wait, what's wrong with ambition and motherhood at the same time? Mm-hmm. Why are they suddenly separated? You know, I thought, well, let me put this in an objectively powerful woman and see what happens. Does she have the same insecurities that I have? Is she has the same, what are the flaws that she might have for the objectively powerful woman? But, you know, when society is still putting those expectations on you or those biases, how does somebody like that manage it? Is it really all that different than somebody, you know, than anybody else?
Well, it goes back to that age old question, right? When women hold any type of power within the workforce, right? You're always, and if they happen to be a mom, they're always asking, how do you juggle, right? How do you juggle it? My husband has never been asked that question ever, ever, ever,
has not either.
Ever.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
There's never been, you know, I published my first book when I was pregnant with my first child. And then, you know, and this is my third. And there, whenever I've gone on tour for an event, there's almost never been a person in an audience who's not asked me who's watching your children. Even, I mean, the book comes out today, so I'm starting the tour tomorrow. But no one has ever not asked me that. And I used to kind of sit back and say, I'm only going to answer questions that somebody would ask, you know, to a man, because then that equalizes it. But then that also centers it around the man's perspective. And so I think that's something that, you know, Sylvia in the book tries to explore is, you know what, let's stop hiding and centering the narrative around, like, okay, well, if someone's not going to ask me this as a man, they shouldn't ask me this as a woman. How about we ask both? Yeah. How about we put it front and center? And so, you know, it's something that Sylvia is really trying to kind of do in the book is by saying, you know what, let's actually talk about these issues. You know, let's talk about what it is like to be a parent and to be in a position of power. And I think the more that we do talk about it, the less we'll get those questions just asked to the women or just asked to the mothers.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, it's interesting too, because, you know, in the book, you also, you know, really look at how, I think women's lives have been controlled, even altered, by the U.S. Supreme Court, and not just right now, right? I mean, over time and, you know, let's look at the last 80-100 years, right? I mean, even see, you know, the women getting the right to vote. We should say white women getting the right to vote, right? In 1919. Exactly. Like, was that important for you as well to not only look at, you know, your main character and how her life has been impacted. I mean, by sitting on the U.S. Supreme Court, right? But even the decisions that she grapples with in that position of power, how it will affect other women, just, you know, the average Jane.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, she, you know, she starts off just thinking about her own experience and her own perspective, mm-hmm. because, you know, she's a person. And I think that people are starting to, at least hopefully, you know, look outside their own perspectives and realize, you know, one person's experience is not the same as another's. And it is essential for us to do that. It is essential for women and men and in all people to not just look at your own experiences, because if you do that, it will be incredibly limiting. And it won't be the way moving forward. We need to be inclusive. And I think that she learned this over the course of the novel by, you know, through her own experience and the experience of the people around her.
So before I let you go, what are you hoping that readers take away from this book?
Well, first and foremost, I hope they're entertained, and I hope that they enjoy the read and really follow along with Sylvia and her life and her story. And I also hope that, you know, I hope that men read this book and women read this book and everybody reads this book. But I think that, you know, I think especially with what's going on right now in our country and the world, you know, it might seem as though women's stories are not important. And they are, I want people to realize every story is important, no matter the background. So the story of, you know, Sylvia and her path to her final position. It's probably not that different from anybody's story in terms of, you know, the personal struggles, the sacrifices we make, our flaws, our regrets. And, you know, we can have them no matter our job, no matter our career, whether we, no matter our choices, you know, we all are kind of struggling with the same issues and we're all kind of in this together. So, I hope that people feel kind of less alone and look at their own stories as being very important.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you too.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.